Welcome to another edition. No, wait. The final of this season edition of Sports Talk. Don't get too excited. We'll be back in August. But right now, we need to thank our great Sportlook sponsors. How about our title sponsor, Hamada Wealth Management? Great people getting us going this season with Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. There is no upcoming sports schedule here on Care Radio because I guess we wrapped up the high school basketball seasons last week with state championship games going on around Kansas, and now we've got a lot of things to talk about, including, you know, those some of those state champions and how they had done over the course of the year. But I'll tell you what, it was a great year, and I'll speak personally, outstanding opportunity to get to go out to Salina, follow the Atchison Phoenix, and those guys, even though they lost to an extremely good team in round one, had a fantastic, fantastic season, the champions of the conference.
Yeah, I mean, how many times do we talk about how special this season was for Atchison? And we talk about it all the time in the sense of that you have to enjoy the ride, right? Enjoy the moment because the teams change a little bit. Now, Atchison does bring back a lot of pieces. They put together a really good squad this year, but came up just a little short when it came to the state tournament. And 4A is one of the tougher tournaments, right? Like, there are some great tournaments around it, but I mean, 4A always seems like it's the one that's packed. And when you come back down to it, Atchison loses to Miege. Miege then turns around and loses to McPherson. McPherson turns around and loses to Hugoton. So Hugoton, the number one seed, moved on, won the title. Miege ended up winning the third place game over Eudora.
Yeah, got to see a lot of great basketball out inside. And you know what else I saw out there that I just love? I saw fans. I mean, and I saw a lot of fans for a lot of schools, and nobody traveled better than the Phoenix did out to Salina. Yeah, not just family, you know, which they were there in great numbers, but a lot of people from the community, a lot of folks supporting Atchison basketball. And it's been a minute since we've been out to Salina, and I tell you what, I don't think that this is a one-and-done kind of a deal.
Let's say you can get kind of used to going out.
Absolutely.
Salina, right?
Love it.
So hats off to Coach Battle and his team on a fantastic season. And real quick, you want to just race through them. In Class 6A on the boys' side, it was Blue Valley Northwest over Wichita Heights. And the third place game had Derby winning on the boys' side. On the girls' side, it was Blue Valley North coming through. Blue Valley North, the 3 seed. They were 18-4 coming into the tournament. Derby ended up getting to the third place game. Here's what's crazy about the state tournament, right? You had on the girls' side of 6A, Shawnee Mission South went into the tournament undefeated, bowed out in round one with an overtime loss for their first loss of the season. In Class 5A, Andover finishes at 23-10. They were the 4 seed. They were the team who knocked off the Highland Park boys. Highland Park then would go on to finish the season 24-1 and in third place on the boys' side.
Yep, Cape of Mount Carmel took them to the wire against Andover, and that was an incredible state championship game there in 5A.
Class 5A girls saw the 4 seed, St. Thomas Aquinas, run through the tournament, knocking off Carroll in the title game. Aquinas finishes the season 22-3. St. James Academy gets third, knocking off Andover 61-48. I don't put anything into the scores of the third place game, right? Because you sometimes have one team that wants to be there. Sometimes you have two teams that don't want to be there. So kind of is what it is. We talked about 4A boys a second ago. Let's drop down to Class 4A on the girls' side.
And if anybody's going to have any surprises, this is not the bracket to look at.
Yeah, the only surprise is that, you know, it was an 8 seed that wins it all.
Yes, but
then it's not.
An 8 seed that's a pretty doggone good 8 seed is it was Bishop Miege over McPherson in the title game, 67-53. Matter of fact, Mays never had a close game. They beat Hugoton 59-38. You go back to the first round, they go over Wellington 71-40. So, I mean, they won their championship by like a combined 100 points.
Now headed down to the sports arena, which saw Heston finish off what was a fantastic 4 years for those senior guys. 25-1 this year. They were the 3 seed, won the state title. How about that senior class? I saw that their record, 95-5 in 4 years.
That's not too shabby.
Not awful.
Not too bad. And 3A and the girls' side, it was something that we haven't talked about yet. We hadn't seen until we had the Cowgirls. Okay? You got Goodland winning the state championship. Not only winning it over Cheney, but they are an undefeated team. This is the first undefeated team we've seen, and there are not many.
Yeah, it's tough to do, right? I mean, you're playing a lot of games, and somewhere on a random Tuesday night, you're bound to lose, right? Drop down to probably the most difficult place in the state tournament, Bramlage.
No question.
Right?
Hard place to play, but it was pretty good for Mound Ridge. They knock off the Independent out of Wichita by 20 to take the 2A Boys State Championship. It was Medicine Lodge ending their season at 19-7 over the Knights out of TMP Hayes.
Dropping down to 2A on the ladies' side. Wow. What a season for Riverside.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. They fantastic year. We got a chance to see them a bunch, and they are so good. They, you know, probably the player of the year in the state of Kansas in Class 2A. And, yeah, they just had a tremendous, tremendous season. You got a little hats off to Riverside. They come up with the, they come up just short to Berean Academy in the title game.
Yeah, lose 48-31 to Berean, but get second place. On the bottom side, you had Pittsburgh Colgan taking home the 3 seed, taking home third place. And for Colgan, they were the number one team coming into the state tournament. They're going to finish the season 24-1 in a third place finish.
We would be remiss if we didn't go down to the day 1A's out at the Wireless Arena, where Maxville, okay, you drive through Maxville, small town right on 50 Highway, but they play some hoops, 24-2 on the season. They knocked off Classical School of Wichita in the championship game. And for Classical School, the great nod to them is to get to the title game, they had to beat Opie. So this is not just some you know, Johnny come lately. This is a really quality team. So Maxville winning the title, and Opie ends up in third place.
Going to Class 1A Division 2 at Barton, you had on the boys' side, it was Greeley County knocking off Lebo, and South Central of Coldwater knocked off Axtell. So Axtell finishes fourth.
Yep. And we have to talk about our friends just right up here in the north listening to us at Class 1A girls. How about Lady Mustang?
Yeah, back to Division 1. Sorry about that.
No, the Highland Donovan West Lady Mustangs state champions in Class 1A, 21-5. We got a chance to watch them here have them here on Care Radio a little bit this season. They were fantastic. You talk about a lot of fans traveling to Dodge City. They took from Donovan County to Dodge, and there's a caravan.
Get much further in the state? I mean, wow.
No, not unless you're at Elkhart, maybe.
Corner to corner, right? Yeah, and you talk about the route that Donovan West had to take, a 5 seed. So they had to not only just beat a 4 seed, they had to beat the four seed, right?
No question.
Claflin, Central Plains, the Oilers, they have been really the standard when it comes to, you know, ladies basketball, maybe just throughout the state. And so a big win for Donovan West. Then they moved on to beat Norwich, the 1 seed. Doesn't get much easier. Then they moved to the title game and had to knock off Quinter, who was the 2 seed at 20-3 coming into the tournament. They were 22-3, and then it was Donovan West in the title game winning 55-49. Frankfurt ends up in the third place game.
Now, you were telling me how to get to Frankfurt again. I forget. How was that?
I'll write those directions down.
Scratch those down on the back of a matchbook for me, would you?
Yeah, I know.
So, again, congratulations to all those teams, all those coaches, the players, and because for me, the fans who followed them, supported them, and that were there every step of the way. It was a great, great basketball season. Hey, we got a great sports show coming up because we got a couple of interviews that we're going to be sharing with you. We're talking to Josh Pound because if you think football and basketball are over and there's nothing to do, that's wrong. There's lots of things going on up at Benedictine. We're going to talk about those. And then, of course, how is there ever a bad day to talk about football?
Never.
Never! We're going to also talk to Joel Osborne, head coach of the Benedictine guys there in the midst of spring practice, getting ready for the spring game. Going to invite you to that, tell you all about that. Lots more Sports Look coming your way here on CARE. We've got Josh Pound joining us. He's the Sports Information Director at Benedictine College. Josh, people think football, they think basketball, but what they don't realize is there is no off season for you in athletics at BC.
Yeah, no, there isn't. A little bit of downtime because of Mother Nature, I was reminded this morning. I had a Facebook memory that this is the day a couple years ago where the NEI pulled the plug on the rest of the season. So dealing with some schedule changes because it's too cold out or, you know, might rain or something like that. Those are nice things to have to deal with compared to where we were sitting a few years ago. So, I needed that perspective this morning because it is starting to get a little frustrating as far as like, well, it's cold, but like, you know, and I think our kids are in that same boat too. So hopefully they understand that these cold weather policies are in place for them as much as anything else. So we'll get things squared away, and luckily it gives me a weekend off, which this time of year that's good because I can sit back, put my feet up, and watch multiple TVs with March Madness going on. But yeah, there's not a lot of downtime until we get to about Memorial Day weekend, and then I can take a breather until middle of July or so.
Well, let's talk about how things are going for some of these spring sports. Baseball, softball, I know they have been going for a while already.
Yeah, baseball, it was 6-10, 6-11. They played a very strong non-conference schedule. They're 1-0 in conference play. We were able to get one of the four games of our opening conference series this last weekend in. We were supposed to play Grandview on Saturday, Sunday this last weekend, and obviously Saturday was not a very outdoor sport-friendly day with the mist and the rain and the cold. And then Sunday, because of the cold weather policy, we were only able to get one game in. But they came out and they started out good with the conference, and then now they'll continue in the conference play. We just got confirmation. They're supposed to go to Mount Mercy Saturday, Sunday, and now that's going to be Monday, Tuesday. So that's fortunate because we have a threshold that we have to reach. We have to play at least 28 conference games to be eligible for the conference postseason. And have we not been able to work something out and get these Mount Mercy games in, that was going to make those 28 games a lot harder for them to get to. And that would be a shame for this team not to have the opportunity to play in the postseason there. It's kind of a different looking team this year. We lost a lot of our power hitting that we've had over the last couple years, but our pitching is strong. And it may not look that way statistically, but anymore, honestly, in college baseball, if you have a staff ERA that's in the high four, low five, mid five range, you've got a pretty good pitching staff. It's just that the hitters are going to come along. The pitching always, it's kind of like offense and defense in football. It's easier for the defense to get going. Takes the offense a little bit longer to go. Well, it's the same way in baseball. Pitching gets going quicker and then once the temperatures start warming up, then the bats kind of come to life. So we're kind of hoping that we see that coming up here soon. We get the bats coming to life for them. Softball, they're in the same boat. They had to move a game to a different part of the state Saturday last week so they could get games in, and then Sunday they could only play one game because of the cold weather. And now they've had to cancel some stuff this weekend and move some other stuff around. They haven't started conference yet. They don't start their conference until next weekend. But they're kind of, they're sitting around 500. They had a, they knocked off the number one team in the country earlier on their spring break trip tournament down in Oklahoma City. They were playing in a tournament down there with a bunch of different teams, and they were able to beat Oklahoma City. Then they went and played USAO and knocked them off. So that was a top top five team right there. And then they finished that trip off with another doubleheader, or another game against USAO and a doubleheader against Oklahoma City. So they're playing a lot of top level caliber talent right now too, trying to get themselves ready for a conference, because their conference schedule, is going to be grueling. They kind of reworked things around. They don't play a whole lot of stuff during the week now for baseball and softball. It's all on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So that works out great from an academic perspective. But it also puts a lot of emphasis on being able to make sure that we can get in as many of those games as we can.
Do the girls have the same parameters that you referred to earlier as the guys, having to get an established number of games in during the course of the year?
They do, but I don't know what it is off the top of my head. The reason baseball is set up the way that it is because they still put a little bit more of an emphasis on the division play. We don't play everybody in conference baseball. You will play everybody in conference for softball. Some of them you'll play home and homes with. And it was until this year. That's why I don't know it off the top of my head, honestly. It changes almost every couple of years as they just try to figure things out. You know, a combination of just the physical footprint of our conference. You know, the northern schools versus the southern schools. The weather can be so much different to play those games. But it used to be, last season we played everybody, but you'd only play everybody from the other side of the conference. You'd only play them in a doubleheader, and then you'd play a home-and-home series with your division. But they went away from that this year, kind of followed the baseball model to kind of try to give them an opportunity to get maybe more conference games, but at the same time, they want to play as many non-conference games as we can get them to play too, because they understand how important that is to pump up the conference overall. If we're just beating up on each other, then it may not necessarily show what we are like compared to everybody else. So,
and for fans,
they have something.
I just gonna say, for fans around the area who love baseball, want to come and watch some good quality college baseball, to keep track of how this is all going, what, RavenAthletics.com?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we try to post as much as we can on there. And then, you know, we have our different things on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, where we'll post updates as far as schedule changes and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, this is a very fluid time of year. I laugh because we print schedule posters, and we used to do schedule cards, and I started telling some people, I'm like, you know, those schedule cards are about as worthless as they can be once you get them printed, because they just don't, the schedules change so much. But luckily we're fortunate. Baseball now has an all turf baseball field. So really the cold weather and then thunder and lightning are really about the only thing that are going to keep them from playing. Softball still has our grass outfield, and they've done a great job of trying to keep that thing playable, and that's why they were able to get their games in this last weekend. But that's the best place, RavenAthletics.com. We get as much stuff posted as we can there. People can subscribe to our calendars. They can get updates through email. There's all kinds of different ways.
And talking about the ladies and the field, the softball field, you guys have implemented and installed a state-of-the-art infield up there.
Yeah, the turf infield's been great for them. That last season was the first year we had that, and we probably had, I don't know, half dozen to 10 dates that, like, we may have not been able to play if we'd have been dealing with a dirt infield again. So it's been nice that the ladies have loved it. This year's outfield situation is it's that time of year. You know, you get rain, it gets warm, it looks nice, and then it freezes, pushes all the water back up to the top, and you walk out the next day and you got puddles of water standing everywhere. So once we can kind of get through this, the dog days of the spring, where we can actually get back in that frost line kind of disappears down in the ground a little bit lower, then they'll be. Things start greening up, and that field, it's a really nice field to play on. Usually There's not a bad day out there. The wind, you know, we get some wind up there at the Asher Complex just because there's not really any place to stop it now. You know, if you get the right spot and you get the right seat, you can take in some pretty good baseball and softball out there.
And it's more than just baseball and softball, because Benedictine has a wide, wide array of sports, and there are other things going on in the spring too, right?
Yeah, we've had our lacrosse season. They're about, I think, a third of the way through their schedules. They both went out on the road for spring break. The second poll of the regular season just came out earlier this week on women's lacrosse, and they went from number one to number seven. We went 1-2 on our spring break trip, losing to two teams that are ranked now. One of them was ranked when we played them, but they lost. So their three losses they have this year are by a combined 5 points. You know, we are the defending national champs, but we are not the same team. They graduated a lot off of last year, and so there's a big learning curve as far as the new players and players stepping into different roles. They were supposed to play Cumberland. The University of Cumberland down from Kentucky was coming up this weekend. They're going to play Ottawa on Friday and then come play us on Saturday. And then, of course, because of the cold weather, that's now not happening. So they won't play again until next weekend when we'll play conference. It's a new season for them this year, too, with both men and women. We had played our conference games. We've been an associate member of the KCAC since the inception of varsity lacrosse. And then this season will be the first year that we actually battle for a banner that looks like everybody else is on campus. So we're playing all of our conference games now under the Hart umbrella. And so they'll open up with Missouri Valley College. Both of them will be playing out here. I think that's the 25th. They'll play in the afternoon out here on Legacy Field. They share the same complex with our soccer field. All the nice lines are out there for it. So men's lacrosse will play Tuesday night against Columbia, which is an old conference opponent out of the KCAC, but another team that's kind of nationally recognized. It's kind of a different animal right now. Women's lacrosse is an official NAIA sport. Men's lacrosse is still in that invitational status. So their schedules are all the same, but the schedule as far as through the NAI is a little bit different. So the polls don't line up like you see for basketball, where they come out the same days or the same times. Their championships aren't in the same locations. They're a week apart. So it kind of makes things a little bit interesting for that, as far as, especially when we have two teams that we expect to go to those national championships every year on. You know, one's in Michigan last year, the other one was in Florida. So like, which one are you going to go to? Because you can't really go to both. And it's exciting. It's not a sport that a lot of people in our area are used to watching. But if you have an opportunity to come out and watch either one of them, if you have an opportunity to come out and watch them both play together, you definitely will see that the only thing they share is the name lacrosse. Men's, women's lacrosse, there's two different style of play, two different ways that they go about doing their stuff, but they're both very exciting to watch. It's a sport that I've fallen in love with. I didn't know anything about it until we started it. And then now to be able to see it and know that we're playing at some of the highest levels of our level of lacrosse, we've got some pretty good teams out there as well.
I always kid that how much can you not, how can you not love a sport that you put people with helmets and sticks out on the field and run up and down? I mean, it's got everything you want.
Well, and that's where the biggest difference is, you know. My wife will tell you, the first time she came and watched a men's game after watching a handful of women's games, she was just beside herself on the difference in the physicality. Women's lacrosse is played with a different kind of stick, and they wear goggles. Men's lacrosse, they've got some shoulder pads, elbow pads, a helmet. They play with a different stick, and it's just a much more physical game. But our women's team has, we call it Midwestern lacrosse, and it's about as physical as they'll let you play the women's lacrosse style. And that's really kind of what brought us the national championship last year, was we were able to win, to play those games against teams that weren't quite sure how to play that style. And that's the only style we've ever played. And so to watch them play at a level that I think, as a novice lacrosse guy, even though it's been 7-8 years now, I like to see them play a little bit more physical. I don't like it to be a game where the momentum in the play has stopped as much as it used to be. And we really take advantage of that around here.
Josh Pound, Sports Information Director Benedictine, joins us. And, of course, Josh, you talk about all that contact. There's also track and field. Not so much contact there, but, boy, it's a, that's an exciting sport.
Yeah, they're coming off a pretty good showing at conference. And on the indoor season, we had, I think, 11 or 12 All-Americans from the indoor nationals. That was right before spring break. And obviously they take a little bit of time off. They were supposed to get their outdoor season going at Emporia this weekend. And again, cold weather has kind of changed a lot of the schedules around. But they'll get going outdoors here soon. They do a lot of that. You know, they'll practice here, but a lot of those competitions are other places. It's just kind of hard for us to host an outdoor track event on campus, mainly because of the fact that we don't have the lights out there. So we'd have to start earlier in the day. And, you know, these are student athletes. The student part has to come first. So we don't want to take them out of class as much as they would need to in order for that to happen. So they spend a lot of their spring on the road regionally, competing against other teams in the conference and stuff like that. But yeah, they'll get going in earnest. They've been practicing for a couple weeks, probably about a month or so now. Those that didn't participate in the indoor part of the season have been practicing for a while, and they'll get going in earnest here soon.
One last thing. Josh Pound is with us. You mentioned it. I know you filled out your brackets. Who's taking it? Who's winning the basketball championship?
Well, this will make Gus happy. I picked his Hurricanes.
Is that right?
Yeah, I have Duke and Miami playing for a rematch, and then I have Miami winning it all. My son Cooper's a big Miami fan too, and he's actually he didn't pick Miami. He didn't want to jinx him. And I said, well, I'm not a Miami guy. I have KU, Miami, Duke, and I can't remember who I have coming out of the other in the Final Four. I wouldn't be surprised to see KU win it. I'll be honest with you, my attention in the last couple of weeks has been more on the World Baseball Classic than on the conference baseball or basketball tournaments. I've kind of been watching flipping, flopping back and forth, but, you know, the first four game last night, the second one wasn't very entertaining, but Columbia and the United States and the World Baseball Classic was. So I think I was on there more than I was on those first four games. But last year I haven't been very good at those brackets in years. I haven't come anywhere close. But I figured, hey, why not? Let's make somebody in my house happy. And then he comes upstairs and says, well, I didn't even pick him.
That's great. Well, again, for the fans to keep up on what's going on at Benedictine with a lot of spring sports going on, again, the website ravenathletics.com, the schedules are there, any updates that are available are going to be there, and we got to encourage people to come up to the campus. The fields up at the Asher Complex, fantastic, and of course, down at Legacy for the lacrosse, you can't get a better environment.
Nope, that was really some of the best facilities in our conference. And some of the best places just to sit and, you know, especially on a nice Saturday, Sunday afternoon, don't have anything better to do. It's just a great atmosphere to come take in again.
Josh, I appreciate it very, very much. Appreciate all the things that you do for me and Gus through the football and basketball seasons, getting us information and kind of holding our hand and getting us through all the games. We appreciate the things that you and all your staff do. It makes our job way, way easier, and anything we can get easier, we like it.
Well, I appreciate you asking me to come on, and we thank you for what you guys have done for covering the games that we're not able to, and then all the games you're able to make it to for Benedictine as well.
On Sports Look, we've got Joel Osborne back with us. It's not fall yet, Coach, but there's never a bad time to talk football, right?
Absolutely, Tom. Appreciate you having me.
And, of course, you and your staff and your players have been very busy because it's spring football time. And tell us a little bit about what that really involves. People know there's spring football, but I don't think everybody knows. What are you doing?
Yeah, so we're really working on the fundamentals, teaching a lot to our players, developing them on the field. You know, they're developing in the weight room, in the classroom, spiritually. So, I mean, this is a big part of development in this season of football. So we're six practices in. We're having a great spring. It's very competitive. Guys are, you know, working to become a starter, working to become a backup. You know, they're trying to put themselves in position to get on the field in the fall. and more than anything, just learning every day. So it's been really good.
Not only are they, I know, getting better, but you and your staff, what a great opportunity this is to evaluate the talent. You had some great seniors who are going to graduate, move on with life, and those spots are going to be open up, and you've got to find the right guy to fill those spots.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have to replace 7 starters, 25 seniors from a year ago, and but a lot of good leaders, number one, and then guys that were role players for us, too, so number two. But, you know, some of the key guys would be obviously replacing Garrett Kettle at quarterback. That's looking really good right now. Guys are very competitive. Luke Leskowski, Jackson Dooley, Braden Boyles, you know, and then we got Carter Schultz and Gabe Seary. So, I mean, it's very competitive. Those top two are really, really pushing for that job. And then, you know, we got to replace Chim Okorafor, got drafted to the USFL. And, you know, that's going to be another in-house battle. You know, so we're looking forward to that. And then on defense, you know, 4 of our top 6 linebackers, we've got to replace them. So, you know, the transfer from William Penn, Jagger Bluebaugh, has done a great job stepping in, and he's going to be a force for us in the fall.
In the backfield, running back-wise, are you bringing back a lot or bringing in new?
Well, we lose Rayshon, and he signed a professional contract to play in Germany, and he's first-team all-conference for us. And, you know, but at the end of the season, you know, Dalton Witherspoon really emerged for us as a really good player. Led us in rushing 2 of our last 3 games. And then Derek Overstreet saw a lot of action last year as well. You know, so those guys are the top 2 right now. And then we've got some other guys doing some really good things as well.
And, of course, you know, as you're looking forward to next season, we really didn't even talk about the end of last season, a tremendous year, making it, you know, deep into the playoffs, a long road trip against a quality team. And I'm sure the guys look at that and say, man, you know, this is where we want to be back doing this every year.
Yeah, I mean, we were really, really excited about how last season went. But, you know, with turning the page to this season, our guys have a sense of urgency because they know, and I know you're going to ask this question, they know who we're playing week 1, you know. So, you know, and it's going to be a competitive season again this year. Anytime you play in the Heart of America Conference, it's every week you got to be ready to go. And we're starting out with Morningside week 1. So the guys are fired up about that, and, you know, because it's going to be a good challenge, and they want to play quality opponents. And with our conference deciding to go to a 10-game schedule, you know, this year we lose Grandview on the schedule. Next year it'll be a different team from the North, and the next year it'll be a different team. So, you know, adding Morningside really adds to the excitement of next season.
So let me ask you, Coach Osborne's personal opinion, do you like the fact that you are now getting an out-of-conference team to start this off?
Well, I was one of the coaches that voted to keep it an 11-game schedule because I knew it would be tough to find a non-conference game. But when it got finalized, the first phone call I made was to Coach Ryan at Morningside. And, you know, he was really excited and wants to play us and thinks it'll be a great game. And so it'll be good for both programs because, you know, you want to come out and you want to play the best. You want to give kids opportunities to play. So we're very happy to find a game right away.
And, of course, Benedictine fans, they know Morningside. Don't like Morningside, I don't suppose, but they know Morningside.
Well, yeah, you look at the 2018 season, playing the national championship. What a great game. And, you know, it didn't go our way that year, but, you know, we were in it the whole time, and we had opportunities to win it, and we had a great crowd. You know, so I've had a lot of people reach back out to me when they saw that the announcement, and they're really excited for August 26th.
Coach, let's talk about, besides the guys getting better and you evaluating the talent, is this a time that you get to incorporate new things, or does that come through the summer? Or, you know, how do you develop from year to year with the spring practice?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you want to take a look at new schemes, now's the time to do it. You know, you can put those schemes in and work it. And so, you know, we're doing those things right now. We're working a lot of fundamental work and special teams, you know, and that's been really good for our development and just getting all the kids opportunities that we have on our team to work the fundamentals so they can have a legit opportunity to get on the bus as a special teams guy. And, you know, because special teams is as big a part of the game as offense and defense when it comes down to it. And, you know, it's a fun time of the year. I really like it because, you know, it really separates programs that can develop kids between the programs that just take transfers. And we take a few transfers at key spots, but we're mainly a developmental program.
So we're visiting with Joel Osborne, head coach of the Ravens. A little springtime football talk. Coach, when you talk about the new players and stuff coming in, and I looked at the recruit group that you brought in, you know, when you announced the freshmen who are coming in, it's kind of cool to see a lot of guys whose home is not so far from Atchison.
Yeah, we signed 23 kids from Kansas this year and 22 more from Missouri. So we got a couple kids from Iowa, a couple from Oklahoma, a couple from Arkansas. And we did a really good job down in Texas and Houston and Dallas. And then Coach Hauser did another great job down in Southern California. So we got a good mix. We're really excited for those guys to come in and compete as Ravens and find out what they can do. I think, you know, a few of them are going to surprise us and make it on the field this year. But it's going to be tougher for them to get on the field because of all the guys we have returning. You know, 15 of our 22 starters are back. We only have 10 seniors on the roster next year. So we're going to be a young team as it is, and they'll add to it, which will be great.
And when you talk about that young team and you're bringing in, it's got to be a lot of excitement. It's got to be a lot of fun when you get them out on the field. I mean, you get to practice. Yeah. You're not practicing 5-6 days a week like you do during the season. So kind of how much time do you get to get actually in the classroom or out on the,
right.
out on the field?
So what we do is we do about 3 to 4 practices a week for about 4 weeks, and then we play the spring game, and we get 14 practices leading into that game. And so, you know, it just – The you don't have a lot of time to waste. We're already 6 practices in, so we're almost halfway done. And, you know, guys are competing for spots. Guys are really working hard to get better at their craft, and they want to do well. And we just talk about all the time about the opportunities we have. We need to take advantage of them. And, you know, you never know in the spring what the weather is going to be either. So we've done a nice job handling that, practicing when it's cold, practicing when it's nice, practicing when it's windy. So, you know, you got to be able to practice in any element.
And then let's talk about that spring game, because everybody knows there is a spring game, but we would like to really promote this, because I feel like you would like to have Raven fan come out here and see what kind of a product they're going to get this fall.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be Saturday, April 1st at 2 p.m. If you cannot make it, it will be streamed, which I'm excited for the kids who are from a distance for their family to be able to watch. But, you know, it's going to be a great environment. We're going to have the guys that signed back for the game were the night before. We're having an alumni social for all our former players. So that's March 31st here at the Mino Center at 6. And so a lot of former players will be back for the game as well, too. So it'll be a good weekend.
Okay. And what's kind of the format? I mean, it's not like a regular football game, right?
Well, what we do is we split up into a black team and a white team. And so pretty much the 1 and 2 offense goes against the 1 and 2 defense, and the 3 and 4 offense goes against the 3 and 4 defense. But, you know, we'll do special teams, like we'll punt it, but we're not trying to block it type of deal. You know, we'll kick field goals, we're not trying to block it. We'll kick the ball off, we're not going to return it. So we'll just spot the ball and go. So, you know, it's not an actual real game, but it's as close as we can get.
So it's not just going to be, you know, 8 plays on this offensive group and then 8 plays with that one. It's
correct.
Going to actually be like a game,
yeah,
feel.
Yeah, it will be like a game. And last year it was pretty fun because we had the band playing and came down to the last play, and quarterback escaped the pocket, and I had a rule that they weren't going to tackle the quarterback, and the defender dove and tagged the quarterback, and he was called down. And quarterback didn't agree with the call, and he made a heck of a play too, but that's how it goes.
And so, again, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. And for these guys, I think probably one of the jobs that you've got, make sure you got to keep it a little bit fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you want to have fun with the spring game. So we split the coaches up into different sides, and, you know, we got different coaches get an opportunity to call the game as well, which is great for their development. And, you know, it's a fun day.
And last thing, you talked about the coaches. What a great staff that you've got. And looks like, you know, as I look around the Amino, a lot of familiar faces yet.
Yeah, our full staff's coming back, which I'm really excited about. We're going to add a new graduate assistant. He's going to start with us in the summer and officially start in August. His name's Isaac Bauer. He's from Morningside, and he's originally from CAM. It's a high school in Iowa. His dad's a head coach there, state champion head coach. So he'll just add to the mix, which will be great.
Coach Osborne, we appreciate the time, man. And again, that spring game, when is this again? I got to write this down.
It's going to be Saturday, April 1st at 2 p.m. at Wilcox Stadium.
Not an April Fool's. This is real.
This is real.
All right, Coach, thanks, man.
Right. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Final segment of Sports Look here for the 2022-23 season. And Gus, we just heard from Coach Osborne talking Benedictine football. Well, there's also, of course, NFL football. That season never ends, and the Chiefs have been doing a ton of stuff. I guess I'm a little surprised at all the moves they have made already leading up to draft time.
Yeah, you know, they're making some moves. They signed an offensive tackle in Juwan Taylor from the from the Jacksonville Jaguars, signed him to a 4-year, $88 million deal, and I think that's kind of where Kansas City wanted to be, right? They were going to pay a tackle about $20 million a year. They had two guys. They said, we'll give it to you. And Taylor was the guy. I think he's going to be maybe a little bit of a project on that left side, but again, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between blocking right and left versus, you know, what's your first stair step on pass blocking.
Yeah, and he's going to be really, really just fine. And here's the deal. He's a great rush blocker, or a great pass blocker, not the best rush blocker in the world, but for the Chiefs, that's perfect.
I was going to say, he's not going to go downhill too much, right?
No, absolutely not. That's not how Andy and Mahomes run it. So he'll be just fine.
Do you kind of wonder what Kansas City's doing, right? Last night, they restructured some of Patrick's money around, freed up another $9 million. And by doing that, it begs the question, why? Uh-huh. They didn't do it last year, and now all of a sudden they do it this year. I feel like there's just something bound to happen.
There's no accident in them doing that.
Like, they didn't just mysteriously do that. But can I tell you, there are a lot of GMs probably around the NFL going, why? Uh-huh. You know, I mean, like they're walking in going, something. There has to be a reason. What is it? I'm hoping that it's maybe a Chris Jones deal and something.
Yeah, well, of course, Orlando Brown is gone. We talk about that. And the Chiefs bring Juan Thornhill in. I'm a little sad to see Juan Thornhill, rather, moving on to the Browns. That's a bit of a surprise for me. And also Juju leaving, a little bit of a surprise for me.
Yeah, so Thornhill, I figured he'd probably leave just because you did so good on your defensive backs and you were able to, you know, probably plug a different safety in there. I would have liked to see him stay. I don't think the money was all that crazy. But Juju to the Patriots, 3 for 33. I just feel like Kansas City could have been in on that deal, and it sounds like they were in on that deal. So I'm a little surprised to see him leave Kansas City for New England.
And Kansas City also, and I think it's kind of unusual, you see a lot of one-year deals anymore, one-year deals. But they signed a two-year deal, and they bring in a D end. Charles, how is that? Omenihu?
Yeah, Omenihu, and we'll just move on from that one for a bit.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Omenihu has a whole lot of off-the-field issues, and I'm not sure how long before all of those get cleaned up. And so, again, I think that he's going to be a nice signing if it works out. But until that all gets cleaned up, you're just sitting there looking at, you know, it's probably more of a futures type deal.
Well, we'll see how that all shakes out. And again, for the Chiefs, they've got cap room. And so what are they going to take? Ground one.
Yeah,
give me the crystal ball.
Draft's here in a couple weeks. I think they trade up and take a receiver, you know, and by trade up, I think they go from 31 to 24. 23, 20, you know, mid-20s.
Is that a substantial move?
No, but I mean, I do think you just jump kind of in front of the Bills to take somebody, right? Just to prove you can. And you have enough draft capital that you can. So, again, I think that you end up with a receiver of some sort.
We'll jump really quickly to the Royals. They'd started off red hot at 14-2. They've lost three in a row, but my goodness, they're still playing really, really good baseball. Royals fans have got to be, you know, they got to be, for maybe the first time in a while, really anxiously looking forward to the beginning of the year.
Yeah, so in the fall, we always come back, and we always grab up this form from Today's Sports Look and look at some of the headlines that were happening when we, you know, left for the summer, okay? I'm hoping that we're still optimistic when we come back for Sports Look, because these guys are fun to watch. There's a whole bunch of new names, guys, to get familiar with, but I do think that this Royals team, do I think they make the playoffs? No, but I do think that they're going to be in a lot more games this year and a lot more respectable of a record by the end of the year. And you probably have to be thrilled about this. Me, I like it because I like some of the throwbacks. They're bringing back the powder blue pants to go with the powder blue jerseys, right? It always bothered me that you brought back the powder blue jersey and then you decide to keep the white pants. It just never worked, but now they're going all powder blues.
And it just seems so odd that the baseball season is stretched out now from March into October. And this is the Royals in the regular season. They're going to be starting in March and ending in October.
Yep. So, the first game is March 30th, right? Home opener with the Twins.
Yes.
So
it should be a very interesting year. New personnel, new guy at the helm, you know, the new skipper. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Do you think you could walk up and down any street in Kansas City with a $100 bill, how many people would it take before somebody could tell you the name of the Royals manager?
I thought you were going to say if he was walking down the street past you, would you recognize him?
Yeah, I would like seeing those interviews where you have, you know, random actor with you and you say, oh, who starred in X? And it's like, oh, it's him. Yeah, it's them.
So that all said, the World Baseball Classic is also going on. We talked to Josh a little bit about that during our interview, too, because he's a baseball kind of guy.
Yeah, you know, and did you happen to see the Puerto Rico game last night?
I did not.
So Edwin Diaz, right, the superstar closer for the Mets, he has his own little song when he comes in, right, the trumpets
right.
and things
mm-hmm.
like that. And then he has a really ugly-looking knee injury during the celebration afterwards, and the Mets are really worried. So waiting to hear what happens, but, man, you feel bad for somebody that, you know, injures themselves in the post-game celebration. And that's a nightmare scenario for these clubs, right? You want to let these guys participate because it's, you know, it's for your country and things like that, but, man, there are a lot of GMs sitting around today after that injury last night going, man, I can't wait to get those guys back in-house and playing for us, right?
This is why they went to the goggles, right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
hey, and of course, on the tip of everybody's tongue, NCAA tournament began this morning. And everybody who has never seen a basketball game and can't name 12 teams in the field, you know what? They all have a bracket filled out.
Yeah, and depends on who you are. Mm-hmm. The less you know about basketball, probably the better you do at these brackets, right? You know, so everybody's hopeful about 10:30 in the morning, and if you're me, by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, your whole bracket has blown up, and you're just hoping that the Hawks can keep moving forward, right? Like, I mean, that's kind of how I am with these brackets. I fill one out just to say I did, but it never goes well.
Okay, so who does Izzy have winning at all? Any idea? Who would you guess? She filled out her bracket. She's very convinced.
She like Oral Roberts or Iona or something?
Oh, no, man. Think Lenny Dawson.
Purdue?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. She went Boilermakers.
Boilermakers.
There you go. Why not?
They got as good a chance as anybody.
I was going to say there are 64 teams in red. You know, at the start of the tournament, they all have as good of a chance as anybody, right?
So anyhow, it's a pretty good bracket. There's a lot of really good teams.
Do you have to wonder about Kentucky, right? Because Sister Jean, like 2 weeks ago, said Kentucky, and everybody kind of laughed because, you know, Kentucky wasn't playing the best. And now all of a sudden they start peaking at the right time, and people are looking around like, you know, uh-oh, maybe she was right.
And everybody's asking, you know, of course, Bill was not at the game today. Mm-hmm. In Des Moines. But
he's in Des Moines.
Oh, he's there. He's in town, not at the game. So people are asking themselves, how important is it for him to be there? When do you have to start having him there to be a difference?
You know, you start looking at the path for Kansas round two. Like, I think he needs to be there in that second game because you're going
to
have...
He needs to be there Saturday?
Yeah, you're going to have athletic teams right away, right? 16 over a one, it happens all but... One or two times?
Once ever.
Okay.
Virginia got beat.
I was going to say Virginia lost to University of Baltimore, Maryland County or something. University of Maryland, Baltimore County. And, I think that you're good there, but Kansas has got a really tough bracket in the West. And can I tell you, I really hate that Kansas-UCLA could meet up in the final or the Elite Eight. And that game would be played in Vegas, which is like 90 minutes away from Los Angeles, right? Like, I think for me, that's the thing that I'm like, really? And they couldn't have been 90 minutes from home, less than, at, you know, Kansas City.
But there are a lot of flights from KCI to McClellan Airport.
There you go.
A lot.
Yep.
A lot. All hours of the day and night.
Do you think 35 is probably just a mess this morning?
Absolutely. They were bumper to bumper. You talk about the caravan of the state tournaments. There was one headed to Des Moines with Jayhawk fans rocking the crimson and blue. Hey, we want to thank you for having joined us. It was a great sports look season, a great sports season around the area. And we saw a lot of tremendous games and had great conversations with a lot of folks. By the way, again, don't miss that football spring game. You know, Coach talked about it. They've invited in football alumni. They're going to have a little get-together with them on Friday and Friday night. And then April 1 is the BC spring game up at Wilcox Stadium.
It's So does that mean then I have like all summer to just like wear on Joel about how many fullbacks we can get in formations next year?
You know, when I talked to him ahead, they not been really busy and drawing up things. I was going to be hoping that. I was going to be hoping that, you know, he was inking in a couple of, you know, downhill runs. That said, we got to thank him once again, our Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, Petro Convenience Store. For Gus Counts, Gus, another great year. Let's do this again starting in August. What do you say? You got it. Tom Counts for Gus. So long, everybody.